Blog Talk Radio.
Joe, what's going on, my man?
Chilling, my brother. Chilling, my brother. How you doing tonight?
Oh, man, I can't complain. Can't complain. Getting ready for this Christmas holiday. How about yourself, Miss Care?
I'm just over here trying to live, you know, sweating, fever, coughing, you know, that normal shit during the winter.
Is everyone up here?
Normal winter stuff. Huh?
This happens to you every winter?
Your phone cut out.
I said, does this happen to you every winter?
Oh, it usually don't happen to me every winter, but, for some reason, I got sick right before Thanksgiving, and I just can't get better. I think it's this age thing, but I ain't gonna call it. I just want to get over it, whatever it is, whatever it may be. I had a contest going. I said whoever can guess how many, whoever can count the many times I cough on the show wins nothing. I just want to know how many times I cough in the hour. That's it. It's only for research purposes. Everybody ready for Christmas? Got the shopping done? Decorations
no.
up? No.
Some decorations up. By some, I mean I pulled the wreaths out.
The wreaths?
Yeah. I ain't did nothing with the tree yet. It's time.
My tree went up December 1st. It got decorated Sunday. I still hadn't put the top on it. I haven't bought one gift except for the gifts for myself.
I'm done.
I got a delivery today from Crew Neck Apparel Company. That's one of my gifts to myself.
Bow, 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 bow.
So, but I haven't bought nothing for nobody but me. Here's the season.
Hey Joe, I wanted to ask you how was the whole house getting the house together going?
It's going good. You know what I mean? Like I'm in that funny place right now where it still feel like I'm staying in somebody else's house. So I'm just trying to put my life into it. The kids enjoying the big backyard and. So I'm just trying to, you know, get it together where it feels like Joe's house rather than Mr. and Mrs. Jones' house who we got it from.
Yeah.
So trust me, it'll feel like yours soon enough.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot shorter than you think.
That's
the first mortgage payment. The first mortgage payment.
Once you have a couple of mortgages come out your bank account.
Right.
It'll feel like home.
It'll feel like home.
I've had two repairmen out here today, and none of it was good news. I was trying to figure out what mm-hmm. is going for on the black
it's
market.
Never good news. It's never good news.
He said new furnace. I fainted. He said, did you hear me? I did.
That's never
I don't
good.
Want to be an adult no more.
That's never good.
I won't be like these folks that just stay with everybody. Don't have no responsibilities. I'm giving me a black plastic bag for my stuff on it. Well, my welcome out. My kids are grown.
House to couch.
Stay here by the city.
House to couch.
That's
how I like the light.
Tank, what's going on with the news?
Well, it's been a lot. This week has been a lot in the entertainment news, sports and block. You know how we do. We get y'all the hip-hop news. We get y'all the entertainment news, R&B news, sports. As a lot of y'all know, the playoffs have been set. You know, last week we talked about Alabama, but this week we do know the Final Four, LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and Jaylen. What you guys think about that? You think that the committee got it right?
Nobody cares about those playoffs. Nobody.
Are you serious? This may be the best playoffs. I know we all Tide fans, but this may actually be the best playoffs.
Hey,
playoff
you hear what
I know.
You hear what I say?
Damn.
I don't know, man.
Nobody cares.
I don't know.
I don't know
if you could consider it a great playoff without Bama, bro. Like, Bama needs to be in that.
I don't know.
Bama's not there. And Jalen, good for him, but he ain't playing for Bama no more. Bama ain't there. I don't really care about them funky-ass playoffs.
Well, let's move on to – let's go from one fast shot to the next. Like, I heard about Juice WRLD. Robert Juice WRLD flew in from Cali, landed in Chicago where the feds and the DA was waiting on him. And somebody on this plane told him it was a good idea to swallow perks. And he went to swallowing perks. They hit him with the Narcan. That didn't help. Died at the hospital. Do y'all think, as these young rappers from some of these cities, is it that they get their bag and then they have to put the hood on? Because why are you probably getting $30,000 to $40,000 a show? Why are you coming back with dope?
Because he used
man.
Dope.
Okay, what?
And the saddest part of that is nobody was shocked. They knew what he died from before the report came out. Because that's all he rapped about. I didn't know who he was. My son had to tell me. And my son even told me it's probably drug related.
That's great.
You know what I'm saying?
He's a drug user.
Yeah, I think, I think it was the whole thing. I think it's between pills and lean. Like from what my son said, that's all he raps about.
Yeah.
Staying on the hip hop front. What do you guys think about? I'm sure after these couple of days have passed, we've seen Nick Cannon, Fireback, and Eminem. Two diss songs, one call. Hey, the invitation it was garbage. It was suspect as hell. And he followed up with Pray For Him, which Pray For Him kind of rhymes, but still.
That shit terrible.
Come on, Nick.
I afford it.
Trash. It was terrible. It was horrible.
But,
I mean,
on both accounts.
I didn't listen to either one of them because
the first one is bad.
Nick Cannon, he did one song that was worth anything, and that was Gigolo, and that was, 30 years ago. And that was a hit or miss. And it was really not Nick rapping. It was the beat and the fact that R. Kelly, God rest his career, was on the track.
Send a shout out to Kelly.
Yeah. But at this point in his career, we know Nick got paper. We know Nick got plenty of business and jobs. Most stuff you just have to kind of, you cannot address. You have to just let that stuff go. But
if Eminem would be a peon, I could see Nick overlooking it. Eminem, you talking about my ex-wife, I probably would let that go, as we're going to get to relationships later on. But still, you bring up, me and my squad might just ride on you, just for the cussing. We just may. And a lot of people say Nick recruited the people. Like Tamika said, we know Nick Cannon cannot beat Eminem rapping. That's known. It ain't no miracle that he can go study and come and beat him. That's not going to happen. You know that you can't. You know, Young Jock not gonna beat Hova battle rapping ever. Hova can stop. Young Jock can go day in, day out, 30 years, nothing. Not gonna happen. So we know Nick can't beat him.
Yeah.
I'm just like, he said something. I ain't mad at him. It was just I agree with Joe, it was just trash. You know, if you're gonna come, Nick come fight.
I was more disappointed not Nick Cannon to be good. But I was disappointed in the battle rappers that he got on there that battle for a living and was saying the most trashiest shit.
Like here's your guy's chance to flame Eminem, and you don't do it. That's what I was thinking, Joe.
And you don't do it.
I mean, you're on there with Nick. Go on in on
it.
Right.
The world is listening to you.
The only thing I agree with. I was reading a comment or somebody said from Nick Cannon Camp, when was the last time you went to a party and asked for an Eminem song? And I sat there and thought about that for 30 minutes.
You have it.
I have never. In life. That was like the most, that's like the best thing I read out of all of it. Like I said, I haven't listened to the song because I just, I really hate to hear people embarrass themselves. I have been at shows. And people have been asked to come up to freestyle, and I knew they could barely rap. I leave and go to the bathroom because I do not want to hear them embarrassing themselves. I just can't say anything to people get embarrassed like this.
That is terrible.
Which is going to segue into us closing out the entertainment and industry report for this week. Everybody is talking about Lizzo at the game with those cheeks out. Someone trying to compare it to Rihanna when I don't really see that. I mean, hey, be clear.
When
I ain't never really seen Rihanna with an ass
okay.
out of the game. And I would
that's
love to see Rihanna
with let's come to context of where we are. Let's not just talk
right.
about because Beyonce posted a picture on Instagram with a bathing suit on her cheek route. We're talking about showing up ass out at
a game.
Basketball game. That is a whole different thing. I can step out, wear a mid-drift shirt. I go to the club, have my bra showing at the club. If I show up at my son's basketball game, that same outfit is not going to look the same in the middle
and,
of the
or
day.
Or not only
that,
you show up at your son's basketball game with your ass out.
Right.
I mean, your son, niggas just got to tell him, hey, man, your mama fine. They just got to, not they got to fight. Because they going to tell him
yeah,
your ass out.
Yeah, you cannot show up. You cannot show up to a sporting event with your ass out. It ain't nothing about her being big. It's nothing about any of that. It's just a proper time for all of that. Her posting on Instagram.
The chauvinist pig in me. I probably wouldn't be as appalled if Riri did show up to the game with her ass out. I would be like, damn, Riri, she don't need to do it like that, but good looking. I know that's crazy, but, you know. I think
I don't think it'll get the same media coverage as this Lizzo thing did, but I saw something on Twitter that kinda made me it kinda made me just stop and made me think about it for a second, but I'm gonna ask y'all. Has Lizzo benefited when it said that Lizzo has benefited from the media trying to push a big girl agenda on us? As if we have to accept her, talent-wise, singer-wise, personality-wise, and that there's this push that we have to get behind her because she's so liberated and free and so, you know, this is her showing off her confidence or whatnot. Do y'all feel like her career has benefited from that push?
I honestly don't think so. I think she's very talented, and I think the things that she thinks about is relevant. I think we are in a place where we need to have anthems and good music and things that cheer us up and things that are fun. Nobody is pushing that, I don't think. I think the issue, in my opinion, is that we're frowned upon for calling somebody fat or ugly. Like it's this thing where they want to bully us into, everybody is whatever, but if something is ugly, then I should be able to say it's ugly. That's not hating. That's my opinion. And they also have charts. I'm 5 feet tall. I have been put on a chart that says I'm obese, and I don't think I'm that much damn overweight. They also have charts and things that tell you as far as your height and your weight. There are some people bigger than me that's healthier than me. It has nothing to do with nothing. But I don't think anybody's trying to push an agenda or making her famous. She's famous because of her personality. She's famous because of her talent.
Right.
I don't think it's an agenda
right.
that's being pushed. I don't think we're made to accept her. I don't want to see her ass out all the time.
Right. And I think that's just for the little, I'm not going to say benefit. I'm going to agree with that. I don't think it benefited her. But it may be pushed, but she was already soaring, if that makes sense. It's a push that she didn't need, but it did get extra looks on her. So it's going to get extra people. Maybe it draws some extra to the music. But I do think the music stands alone. You know what I'm saying? It,
yeah.
Her music, her message, the show, it stands alone, and she's soaring. Now, of course, you're going to get more looks with the ads just because. You don't want to get the people that's criticizing.
Yeah.
I think it's
okay to be comfortable in who you are, no matter what size you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel like that's an agenda. I think that's really a thing that needs to be
done.
We just got to remember there is a time and a place.
Right. And that's what I was going to say. At the end of the day, I'm not really mad at her for that. But I know that, I mean, you got to know that if you do that, people are going to drag you. That's just part of it. If you do it, you know, it could be backlash. It could be.
And I don't like the fact that she did a 40-minute video of why she don't care.
Right.
So most bothered,
if you don't care, don't care.
You can't be bothered and unbothered at the same time.
Right.
I hated it.
Before we move on to the topic, let's be clear. It ain't like that Lil' Kim went over good now. Lil' Kim caught flack for that now. Yeah, we liked it.
Yeah.
But she caught flack. You know what I mean? It wasn't just, look at Lil' Kim. She, no.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They was ill about that. When Angelina Jolie showed up with the boobs out there, everybody went with that now.
You were.
That's our news and our topic for this week. Lifestyle and hip hop news for your week game 7.
That's what's up.
Well, that's just interesting news. Interesting news.
Very interesting.
It's been hot, man. It's been a hot week.
Oh, you know they called for Lizzo to be banned from the Staples Singer. She got a. They said that fans called for Lizzo to be banned from Staples Centers over outfit concerns transferred to managers on duty.
They all have.
You know, yeah, you know we get offended. And that's the other thing. I don't like this new offended thing. I think it could be one of those things. You go to ban. Like I said before, none of y'all understood what I was saying with cancel culture. That's exactly what I'm talking about, that we're not allowed to be forgiven. Everything is just automatically got to be pushed to the side. My thing is, it should be brought up to her, hey, we want you at our game. We like seeing you. You're a celebrity. We want you on the floor, but you got to cover your ass. Like, what's wrong with that conversation?
Because to be clear now, and again, I know we're on the subject, but it does raise a lot of things. I have been in the city when my homegirl was with me, and they did let her in the club because her ass was out. Now, I'm saying, and she was the smallest, you know, small-sized girl, but they still went with it. So, I mean, it's going to be hard to walk in Staples Center or general admission with your cheeks out. They're going to have something to say.
Yeah.
About
so it's just the same thing for no matter who's sitting on the floor.
Right. And if you got your, I mean, it's going to be, you know. Now, when y'all start bringing in Beyonce and Rihanna, again, like Tamika say, don't bring them in. They're the wrong two to bring. You know what I'm talking about? It's like Michael Jackson and them. Hey, no need in bringing up the top. You know what I'm talking about? That's what goes without saying. Y'all know it.
So the topic for tonight, relationships then versus now, and we kind of had talked about this, I guess, over text earlier this week. But one thing we wanted to discuss was, what's the difference between relationships of today against the relationships that we remember back in the 70s, 80s, 80s, watching our parents grow up? Why do you think relationships are the way they are now? And which would we consider to be the better era? As far as relationships go, Mika, what's your thoughts?
My thoughts are, I think the biggest issue with relationships now is that women are more independent. Women are more willing to work. Women are able to go to school because, you know, remember there was a time when we were not allowed to do certain things, so we were kind of stuck to be taken care of. So I think. a lot of the changes, not just social media and the way the telephones, the communication, all of that plays a factor in now. But I know one of the biggest things is that we are more independent now. We are able to work. And a lot of us don't want to put up a bull anymore in order to have a man. And you can't cheat on us like you used to be able to then, because we got tracking devices, we got cell phones. We got camera phones with catch and cheat, because if you have to move with somebody else, somebody's going to take a picture of you and send it to your girl, so by the time you get home, she'll put your clothes on the shelf.
You literally, it's like we, kinetically, or whatever the word is, transgender, exactly what my notes say, the exact same thing, with the independence of woman being number one. That's it right there.
Right.
As I thought about it, I like it's going to be a good show. Wait a minute. It's one main factor that stands out above them all, the independency of the women, right there. The 11 to 7 through the 11.
And I say this because I remember talking to a lady when I was getting a divorce, and she said, oh, y'all need to work on it. Y'all young people don't know how to stay married, blah, 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 blah. So about 6 months later, she said, girl, you looking good or whatever. She said, what did you decide? Did y'all decide to work it out? I said, no, I got a divorce. That's right, baby, because y'all young women ain't got to keep up with that shit like we used to. Wait a minute. Which one is it? What is it? Like, she was proud of me for going ahead and go through the divorce, even though she tried to keep me in the relationship. And when you talk to older, even with me, when women come in the bank now and in the credit union and say, oh, you're not married? No, ma'am. That's right. Stay by yourself, because if I can get rid of this man I've been with for 30 years, I'd have been got rid of him. Like, why are we staying married that long if we not happy? And I even ask my friends that want to be married, why do you want to be married? Not saying anything is wrong with marriage. Don't get me twisted. Don't go back and run my words. Not saying anything wrong with marriage. But there's a lot. There's quite a few people that I know that are married that clap for me for being single. Because they feel stuck, because they got married for kids. And, you know, people used to, the biggest thing what people don't realize of how marriage got started, it used to be you would have to have money to get married. You would have to offer the family something in order to get the wife. You had to have land.
Right.
You had to have livestock. There was a reason. So the reason for getting married was not love. It was to benefit your family so your family could have more wealth.
Right.
There was a business prospect of getting married. There was no love. There was no butterfly.
You got to have,
there was no arrangement.
The man had to have this type of bread and all this.
Right.
Whack shit going on.
It was an arrangement. It was.
And then when you get married, it was just, you get married to some of the guys, it was just like the color purple.
Right.
You married Mister around the bitch.
Yeah, those stories come from truth. Those stories
right.
are not made up.
No. I mean, you think about it. He was one of the few males back then that had land and house. So you got to know, you get married to him, it's going to be on some, you know, R. Kelly sex slave shit off the top.
You got married to bear children. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a whole different reason. Like, there was a reason for marriage. And I hate when people don't think that cheating was as relevant then. Cheating was easier then than it is now.
Right. That's why you don't see that once the communication's caught up with it, which is the second thing, once the cell phones and the tracking devices and the, like you're saying, just the ability to just be everywhere, well, that was over with for that, both ways. You know.
But not ring.
Ring will tell you that the insurance man don't need to come by two times a week now. Back then, you're on the railroad, you don't know.
Right. And then even with the way that they are doing marriages now, did you guys realize that you don't really have to have a ceremony anymore? You can go get your license, get a form signed and notarized, and you're married?
Yes, I've been married twice. I'm married right now.
I've never knew
exactly
you had
what
an official ceremony.
Second time. And when the second time,
yeah, you don't have
they
to have any.
You
used to have to have a ceremony.
Right.
So you
didn't have that ceremony.
You don't even have to have a ceremony anymore.
Hey, Jay, Jay, when I'm up there to get my wet light, you know, your application, that's what I'm thinking is that level. The lady says, shit, nah, you just add the ceremony if you want to. You motherfuckers want to be married.
Right.
Two more signatures.
You get notarized.
I was like,
you sign your
signature.
You get notarized.
Two more signatures. Two more signatures. You motherfuckers is married when y'all walk out these doors. What? I'm a little confused because I was married before. So I knew, you know, it wasn't like this, man. I'm saying to myself, I know it was just an application, but what this lady's talking about is ready, set, go. Throw some rice at Burger King. So.
But
what do you think, Jay?
I think it's, I definitely think that the past era, there was a lot of people, a lot of women who stayed in marriages because that's what their mother did or because that's just what you did back then. But I think it really does play into the independence part that women did not have a choice of. I mean, you know, women got degrees now. Women got degrees. There's every website that can tell you what town that you can find a job in. You don't feel as trapped in this generation as you do in the past generations.
I mean, you was a housewife. You think about
right.
My grandmother was a housewife. Well, she worked, but she ain't drive. So you think about a housewife that didn't know how to drive. What you gonna do?
Right.
So this era we see marriage suffer because women have become more. What we saying?
But
I will
again,
say, you know,
I don't
think
say that's
suffer.
I'm agreeing with
the other than,
I don't know.
What did you say, Tank?
I said I'm agreeing. I don't think that they suffering more. They always was like Tamika said, good and bad. That I don't think. You know, they might try to show us one different thing, but again, look at the clothes stuff that we didn't know about. You know, cheat on your wife back then, you might get 5-6 strikes. But cheat on your husband, you might, even
oh,
for
yeah.
Nick dude
the
back
thing
then,
is,
you might get 2 or 3. Cheat on your husband
now,
or cheat on your wife now, anything social media is over with. You're going to wrap them with the exception of some people. Gonna be too hard.
It's gonna put
you on another path.
$50.
If you do stay with them, it's gonna put you on your little mission. Then that's it. Once two people on that mission, it's
all over. Who all got granddaddies with different sets of kids?
Right.
I mean, it's always
different. One looks different.
You know, it's always, but your grandmother put up with it. She stayed.
Right. So, Joe, to answer your question, I wouldn't say that the independence, I would just say that the exposing is much different now where I think if you gave the women of the past opportunities of the women of today, that I think that you would see just a similar, I think that line would be, that graph would be a whole lot more straight is what I'm saying.
What?
Okay. I think, from my opinion, of what the change has happened over time, I would say that we have saw our culture go into a more individualism type of culture.
Right.
So I say that to say, you know, people find happiness within themselves more so than with that having to have a connection with somebody else. They can just build their empire themselves. I love to say
right.
It's the Oprah mentality. Like, I don't necessarily need nobody. I could become Oprah myself and don't need no one, you know? And so it just makes you wonder with that, when you have so much going on with yourself, do I need somebody else to share my life with? So I think relationships have taking a dive over time because of that. But I do think they still have a place. You know what I mean? I still think if you do find somebody special, you know, in this day, you still find an amazing thing. I just think it might be a little harder to maintain.
know.
And I think, you know, at one point, you know, meeting people was simpler because your family was. Okay, so I got a great example. Some of my cousins are my cousins twice. You want to know how? Because they were all dating the same set of people. There was no getting in no car and going to Mississippi or going to Atlanta. You dated
right.
in your neighborhood. You dated in your neighborhood. You dated in the streets over. So my mama and my aunt are dating cousins. So they're my cousins by my mama, then they're my cousins because they it's a whole melting pot of foolishness, but it's because they were dating in their neighborhood. And it wasn't no, oh, you used to talk to so-and-so back in the seventh grade. This it is what it is. You may have talked to Man-Man a couple months ago. Y'all didn't make it. Man-Man mine now. It wasn't no, oh, I'm mad at you because you dating somebody I used to talk to. The Slimmings was, you know, it was being you did what you had to do. It didn't nobody care about who was bumping ugliest the month before. It's who bumping ugliest now. You didn't mess with him if she had him now. But he was good and well. Because my mama used to tell me all the time, a man that wasn't married was a much white man. I had just as much right to him as she do. That was the mentality back then. I don't know why we got into this thing where somebody say, oh, girl, David liked me. Oh, I used to talk to him in the eighth grade. It don't matter. That was the eighth grade. Back on the market.
Man.
You mind that? You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
The mentality was different.
Yeah.
It's technology.
I females
it's
changed
where
the
we
game over
the
time.
Right.
They changed the game, Billy Joe.
They just didn't change it.
So, yeah, so that technology thing that we're able to, the fact that people can, you know, it's easy to get a car. It's almost seems crazy if you don't have a car. It's so easy to, you know, access one now.
Right.
It's the trains, the buses. You can date somebody in Mississippi a couple hours over. Y'all can have a long-distance relationship because y'all both got cars going back and forth. You know, it's just a different thing. But then it was just you in the neighborhood. You dated who you could walk to or who could get to you. And if a man had a car, he was the hottest thing in the hood.
Exactly.
My dad has three kids by three different women. And we're the oldest is only the oldest by 11 months. I am only the youngest by 6 months. My daddy has no game. If I could get him to call in, he would tell you he don't have no game. He had a car. But he had a car.
Is it?
I mean, it was simpler. It was simpler. And let's not even talk about the whole mindset of.
I don't want to start with the story of my daddy.
Oh, no. That's
what. They're off the train. So that's what I say. I don't. The stuff they got away with, they can't get away with now. So it's off the turn. So what Joe's saying is true, too. There's a lot of individualism. I saw that a lot when I was living in the city. Imagine living in a city where it's just 7.5 million people, most of them shocking. It's ridiculous. It's nothing. Everybody is just it's different. It's an experience. In the city, it's an experience. It's different.
But are we saying it's good? But are we saying today's relationship, the climate of today's relationship, is it better or worse than what we had years ago?
That's what I can't pinpoint. I'm getting drawn.
I say different.
It's like a give and a take.
I'm
getting involved.
I don't think it's no better or no worse. I just think it's different. Because if what we have exists now existed then, we would still be in the same place. I just think it makes a difference. Now, I do hate that we're, you know, with reality TV and people thinking that a man's supposed to buy them bags and pay their bills and. Because the way that I look at it when it comes to dating, if I'm dating another man that has a job and has his own home and his own kids, he has responsibilities. I have responsibilities. how's he gonna pay my bills and he got bills to pay his, of his own? That's not my husband. We haven't co-mingled funds. We haven't, you know, built anything together. I just like his picture on IG when he asked me out for a drink. He owes me nothing. So I don't know if it's the reality TV that made it that way, that makes dating so hard, the expectations of what men should do versus what women should do. I'm not sure, but I think that if all this stuff existed, I just think it would be the same. I don't think it's worse or better. I just think it's different. I just think that's what we are.
Hey, Joe, to answer your question, what I would say is that I think that individualism is better. I think people are more comfortable in their own skin than they've ever been. I think people are much more brave to, or much more comfortable getting outside of that bad relationship or getting outside of that marriage that they've been in for 15, 20 years. I think that people are happier alone than any other time than in relationships go. There's a lot of people out here who've been married 20, 30 years that don't even like each other.
These are facts. That's true. Right. And it's, and you know what I mean, on the flip of that, there's people who's, you know, looking for somebody, who have been looking for somebody and feel like they haven't found that somebody that same length of time. Like I say, it's a give and a take. It could go both ways on a lot of this. I think, you know, although individualism is a very important thing and people finding strength within themselves or whatnot, you know, it can be a very powerful thing to have somebody to, you know, to spend the rest of your life with if you lucky enough or blessed enough to have that person beside you. But I do think today's climate and today's situation test that foundation of stuff beforehand. So, like, it just tests a lot of stuff more. So back in the day, like 50, 60 years ago, when your husband said, "I'm going to work," you didn't have access to him all day long. You really had to trust that nigga going to work. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you had to wait
for
you to see that man. Without, you know what I'm saying? So you had to trust in that. So now, you feel me? Like, now you got access to him. You can text him all day and communicate with him all day. Temptations are a lot more now. So it tests the trust of a relationship way more than ever. I think today's climate, this all around period, you know, really tests every foundation that you have within your relationship. Everything your relationship stand on is going to get tested times 10 today versus 7 years ago.
Hey, and before we go any further, I think we've got a caller. I'm going to try to bring him in, and then after our caller, we'll go ahead and kind of go into your top five, Joe. So if the last three digits of your number are 126, if you would like to say anything, you're now part of the game. Last three numbers, 126, do you have anything? Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How y'all doing? This Dustin Harper.
How you doing, Dustin?
What up, bro?
Well, good, man. Enjoying the conversation, man. I just, I didn't know y'all were going to questions, but I'm glad you did. I'm trying to see, should I make a comment or ask a question? I think it'll be easier if I ask a question. It might create a little bit more dialogue. Let me do this. How has the family, the change in family dynamics and family values created a situation, or has it created a situation where relationships as adults are affected? Like, I guess, is how we are raised as different genders, does that have a significant effect, or is it minimal?
Come out as far as our upbringing?
Yeah, our upbringing as far as whether there are two parents in the home, what we're taught as little boys and little girls, how we're taught as little boys and little girls, and how that changes as we get to, or how that affects us in relationships as we get to be adults.
Oh, I most definitely think, because, you know, with me, I don't date very often because I can't stand people, but if you come across a man that has not been taught or haven't been exposed to things that we claim that, and I'm air quote claim, how a woman is supposed to be treated versus opening her doors or, you know, doing the things that they say men are supposed to be done, and then you have the expectation that he's supposed to do it, then you're going to be let down because he doesn't have it. And with me being raised by a bunch of women that had men in their lives that were not the best for them, that mistreated them, that abused them, and my mom pretty much not dating in front of me because she didn't want to bring a man in my life, which was good in one way but different in another because I never it never allowed me to see her with a man. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
I had to make up things and barriers for myself by what I saw and what I didn't see, because I didn't have an example of it, because they were just out here doing it for themselves, and when they allowed a man to come in, they were abused or mistreated. And so I know that plays a effect on me because it makes me push people away or expect the worst, and even if I try to let somebody in and they do something to me, it's like I knew that shit was going to happen. It's like that thing that's always in the back of my head. But that's why I should have
right.
said it by myself. Does that make sense? Because I never had that example
absolutely.
In front of me. You know, and I saw my dad. He's been married over 30 years. But, I mean, if I didn't spend a lot of time around him and the things that I did see, they were not flattering either. So I can't really say that I have a great example of a long-standing couple that I was around a lot to show me or make me even respect marriage. Like, it's not a big deal for me because I never saw it.
And I think that's great. I'm on the flip of that. Like, because watching my mother being a single mama forever raising three young men, that's kind of like stuck in my head on the flip. Whereas I wanted that strong family base, that strong relationship, because I got sick and tired of my mama being sick and tired. So I felt like, man, how easier this would be if she had, you know what I mean, a husband that if she didn't have it on the first, he would have it on the 15th. Or they could split everything. Or, you know what I mean, her getting off at 15 hours, but she got to come outside and teach us how to ride bikes and do this and do that and catch balls and just trying to do those, you know, father things when he wasn't around. So in my mind, I just wasn't going to let the person that I fall in love with and have kids by go through that. You know what I mean? I take pride in the fact that you can go to work and go to sleep, and I got homework. I'm going to make sure dinner good. I'm going to make sure you straight. I relish in sharing that household duties with her because I watched my mother go through so much.
Excellent. It's so much to say. I hope I'm not overstepping.
Now, go ahead, Dustin.
It's so much to say, I guess, in response to that. I hope I'm not overstepping. I hope I'm not taking up too much time. But I think it would do all of us well as black people to go back and consider our upbringing. In light of the trauma that black people have experienced in this country, and to think about how it has affected us, not only us as individuals, but us as a people, and then us as black men and black women trying to do this thing together. Because if we're honest, all of us probably deal with some level of trauma, however big or small it may be, that affects us in every relationship we have, not just, you know, with the opposite sex.
Right.
But I think, you know, we can go on for hours, you know, kind of talking about
right.
that. But I just wanted to kind of bring that up and see what y'all thought about.
No, I think it's an excellent point. And I know, speaking for myself, I can see those upbringing qualities and trying to, you know what I mean, instill those things in front of my kids. Like, there's a thing I do this ritual at night where I want them to see every night, no matter what. They're going to hear me tell their mother I love her and kiss on the forehead and tell everybody good night. They're going to see us pray together every night. I don't care what time it is or what it is. They cannot say over this span of our relationship they ever seen a night mad, indifferent, happy, sad, rainy, snow, that they didn't hear me tell her in front of them, baby, I love you. Because I want them to understand that, you know, we are partners in this and we're going to build each other up. But, you know, and I'm just trying to curb some of the trauma that we have. And I'm sure, you know, they might say some of the stuff, you know what I mean, that we do will probably, you know, affect them good or bad. But it's still, like you said, that trauma from my childhood is there. And I'm trying to correct that cycle with the two that I'm raising myself.
And I think it's something that we don't acknowledge enough. Just talking to my friend Carrie, we were just talking about things, you know, as girls that we had to deal with. You know, there's a lot of pedophiles out there, and amongst my friends and I, we all have a story. It may not have went as far as actual rape, but improperly being touched and things of that nature. So there's a way that I've been teaching my kids, since they were old enough to talk about, you know, I don't make my kids hug people. Yeah, ain't you a hug? If they don't want to hug you, they ain't got to hug you, goddammit. Like, I have certain rules and regulations about people touching my kids, where my kids go, who they're around, things of that nature. Sometimes the things that happen to us, we'll acknowledge it and we'll do something about it. But some of that stuff we'll just hold in, and we don't even know it's a thing until something happens. Because it took me to be in my 30s before I realized why I was so relationship phobic, and it was just about the things that I saw. Like, I really can't. I can be honest with you. I just did not want to be in love with relationships. It's almost like one of them romance movies. Oh, this happened for real. That look gay. That's just, I'm just not that touchy-feely. Which I think I feel for my kids, because I try not to be like that in front of them, but I don't know what to do for them. I can talk to them, but I don't have an example to show them.
Right.
Well, Carla, we appreciate the feedback. If you want to stay on, we're going to probably move into Joe's top five, and if we've got time, we'll bring you back in. But we definitely appreciate you calling in the game seven.
For sure. Thank you.
So ain't nobody else had no issues with me and Joe? Me and Joe?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've definitely had issues. I think I'm the only one who's never been in a marriage or currently in one. I would definitely say,
married, so, of course.
Yeah. So what I would just say about it is I agree that upbringing plays a significant part, because I've been in relationships where woman that I was dealing with that didn't really even understand how relationships actually worked, or what a man is supposed to do, and all of those things. So I think it definitely plays a significant part. And I think the generational curse is what happens is when you have those relationships where the child and the mother and the baby, none of them have a father in their lives. So it really becomes bad then.
I just know that relationships, the small time starting out friendships into courtships or even to marriage, they take work. Even though it's technology, and even though it is different from back then, a lot back then would have been better, and a lot were better because of what Joe said. Black love is powerful. That's what he's teaching his boys. look at this prayer. It's a family unit, to move as a unit. I, like Tamika said, some people, of course, you're going to be in love. All people don't, but you want to love the person that you get married to. And I just like names. I like family. I like my friends. I like family. That's what I like. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking a journey on your own. But relationships, you know, that's what I say. You don't have to be married to be in a relationship with a person. It's nothing like spending your life with somebody. Ain't nothing like it. You know, being solo is cool. I like enjoy that when it happens. But at the same time, it's nothing like it. Black love is powerful.
Yeah.
It ain't got to be your, it don't have to be your same thing. But a person that wants to be, or is a person that you want to actually be with, man, I like what she's doing. I'm gonna, you know, it's good that we can do this together. That's make good and strong relationship, whatever it is.
That's what I was about to say. Like, if I had to do it alone, I could put my Tupac bandana on and thug it out and do it alone. But to do it with somebody that, you know, I can genuinely say is my rider for real, is a beautiful thing. I wouldn't trade it for the world either.
Yeah, I prefer a relationship. I don't have to have one. And I'm not going to allow anybody to get on my damn nerves. So, you know, it's just, I'll just put it this way. I didn't find a person for me. And so until then, I will continue to be over here by myself. How about that?
Okay, so let me ask you this question, Mika. Spence, you are what I and I think Joe and Tang would consider successful black woman. Do you know of women who stay in relationships because of the financial imbalance in the relationship?
I don't know anyone like offhand, but I do know with me over the years, with me dealing with the public, that has been a thing. Because if their spouse is making $150,000 a year, they don't want to give up those benefits because they don't want another woman to have them. That's another thing about us too. We'll hold on to you because we don't want nobody else to have you. We don't want you. We don't want nobody else to have you and get the benefits of you either.
I never understood that. Why do people do
that? Me neither. Me neither.
If you don't want this person no more, let them rock. You want to block everything. What the fuck is going on? Want money? Want blockage?
It's like holding your breath and expecting somebody else to die. It don't make sense, but
it's fine.
It ain't even. Yeah. They don't want to give up the purse. They don't want to. You know, it's like the fact of. I think it's a level of fireness. You just don't want to try to get out there and get better. You would rather be miserable in your situation because you know that direct deposit and you ain't really got to do nothing but swipe your card or write a check out of it.
Stability is attractive to a lot of people, you know. Like they would deal with a lot of bullshit.
I've seen men stay with women because they had it good too, so it goes both ways.
Straight up. People would stay with a lot of shit just to make sure they got a roof over their head and their money coming in. They would deal with a lot.
I think that goes in any type of relationship, even work. People will deal with a lot of bullshit and never realize what their real potential is by staying in too long, because we're not getting any more time. The longer you stay in that bullshit relationship or whatever, the more, for whatever you think you're saving, you're really not. I mean, you're paying for it one way or the other.
Right. She telling you, you ain't nothing. He telling her she ain't nothing. They be scared, you know. Ain't nobody going to want you now. You can't, you know, whatever. Stuck. Scared. But like you say, just trust to move on. If somebody genuinely loves you, they ain't going to treat you like that. They go both ways, man and women. But that shit's short. Like you said, ain't but one life. People die every day, especially in this city. I know we kind of keep it away from just singling out Tuscaloosa, but the reality is people drop it every day around here. So if you're in an unhappy situation, and, you know, as long as if it's physical, try to get help. I know they harder to get away from, but That verbal abuse, man, kick rocks.
But you know, like with a bad relationship, it like chip away at you over time. And I think a lot of people, by the time it's time to get out of it, they have really emptied themselves out. The clip is empty, and they feel hollow, and they feel like there's nobody out there that will be, you know, ready to pick them pieces up with them. So a lot of them just stick to that because that's all they know. The time is there, praying that it gets better, you know, hoping that their prayers get answered. But by the time they find the strength to walk away, they security and they insecurity is like shot out. You feel me? They self esteem, they self worth is shot by that time, and it's left for a person, man or woman, coming behind that relationship, having to deal with the baggages that they bring in it. And you know, like Destin said, we could be talking about this for hours on top of hours. But you know, that's another thing with relationships that, you know, we see a lot is the baggages from the last relationship is stuck in this one, and a person have to work twice as hard to make you happy off of what somebody else did to you. You know what I mean? And I know it happens, but is that really fair to the next person? Even with that being said, that person could be trying to hurt you worse than the last person.
I can answer it. It's like, because I've been there, done that, and I don't want to do it again. It's like fun. You're looking and searching for me and doing things to me, and I'm not even the hoe that did it to you. It was the one before me.
I put up with 0%. Like Grover said, we think it's things. We putting up with zero bullshit now. Okay, that off the top. Nothing. Praise the questions. Over with. Like you said, this show ain't just about marriage. It's about relationships and marriage. If I smell a toxic relationship when I used to be in relationships, over with. For what?
So yeah, Joe, you gotta do your top five today. It's almost 8 o'clock. We get talking.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I go ahead and jump into that. So this week with the top five, I really was trying to, you know, switch it up a little bit because this topic is so broad, and it's like, okay, what could we talk about? All of us could talk about, and you know what I mean, jump on this subject matter and pretty much put some knowledge out there. But one of the things that I was saying was, and it kept being stuck to me, was instead of talking about how relationships get ruined, how could we fix them? Like, what are five things that we could do in our relationship that would make our relationship smoother? And one of the questions I get all the time is, Joe, you've been with your girl since 1999. How? How in the hell? Why? Negro, how the fuck y'all do it? Well, let me give you some of the little secrets of our relationship and why it has, you know, maintained its little flow over the period of time. And hopefully, you know, people out there, our listeners, can gravitate to some of the stuff or whatever because it works for us, you know. So, number five, one of the five things you could do to strengthen your relationship. Number five, never stop dating each other. I can't tell you how important it is to take moments out of that hustle and bustle every day, every week. You get yourself wrapped up in that office life, that 24/7 work, bills, kids, all that, where you forget to just take time for each other. So we used to do this thing where we just go take a walk. And it doesn't have to be a long walk, you feel me? It's just a time for us to just at night have a little quick walk with each other and just have a conversation with each other about just us, everything, and just laugh without having to hear, mommy, can I have, daddy, can you give me, mama, can I, the office is calling or whatever, leave the phone, where they at, and just enjoy each other for a moment. Find ways to go do a dinner. Find ways to do a picnic. Anything you can to just continue having those dates with each other where it's just the two of you. Very, very important. Number four, might sound easy, but, you know, for some people, it's difficult to do. make your relationship a priority. A lot of people in relationships, they listen to outside noise. My best friend need this. My homegirl need that. Man, my boys got to go do this. Me and my boys got this thing or whatever, whatever. And you start peeling time away from each other. Give yourself a chance to just understand that how important this thing is that y'all building. So like my boy Tate said, relationships take work. So you're going to have to work at it. And you're going to have to build on it. So, you know, make sure y'all understand that the relationship is the number one priority in y'all life right now. Y'all going to make sure this thing is the building block of y'all future, and y'all going to put work in it. Everything gets built off of that. And once you do that, you kind of can block out all the outside hate, the outside noise, the outside opinions when you all both lay down with the mentality of there's nothing coming in between this right here. So number four, make your relationship a priority. Number three, be more present in your relationship. How many times have you been talking to your person that you rock with and had to just stop talking and be like, are you listening to me? Because they just spaced out or they blank. And then you had to ask them that question, well, what I just said then? And they just started laughing because they really wasn't there for real. They was thinking about a whole hundred other things, but they really wasn't there. Tune the world out. Be present in your relationship. You just have to be more attentive and listen, you know? Like my grandma used to tell me, you got two ears and one mouth for a reason. Listening is more important. Shut up. Listen to the person you with and just be attentive to their needs. And then over time, what you will see is you will start noticing the shit that they need before they even notice it. My woman asked me all the time, baby, what I want to eat tonight? You feel what I'm saying? Like, she just come to me with some shit like that because in her head, I done paid attention to her for so long and so over this relationship where she just looked for me to, like, feel those voids where she don't even feel like thinking. She just feel like I know what's going across her head. It might be an optical illusion, but it make her feel secure when I throw out, we going to eat some chicken fingers tonight. She's like, damn, so that's what I wanted. Number two, practice daily acts of love. Like, little shit, you know what I mean? It don't take a lot to just write a letter, write a little card, you know what I mean? Whether they walk by, washing dishes, slap on the ass a little bit, a little kiss on the cheek, kiss on the forehead. Just do the things every day just to say, I love you. Sometimes you ain't even got to say the words. The actions would do it for you. So you just have to show them that with your actions and your words. Sometimes. So daily little acts of love always, always work. And number one, to me, a very, very important part of a relationship, the most important part, remain loyal. You know what I mean? Just be loyal no matter what. Be loyal to what y'all have. You in this relationship for a reason. You're basically telling this person when you say, I'm committed to you, I don't want nobody else but you. And if that's what you're committed to, then go out there and do that. Cut the outside the hoes off, cut the outside dudes off. Be focused on that. It go back to like the conversation we was having, the upbringing conversation. As men, you know, we get asked when we kids, how many girlfriends you got? You say seven, everybody start laughing. Everybody say, there you go. And they proud of us or whatever. And we kind of get instilled with this mentality of you the man when you got a lot of women. You the man when you get a lot of women. Get you one woman, cut everybody off, and be the man to her. And then you'll see yourself go a long way with that relationship. Be loyal to each other, love each other, be attentive to each other. And that's how you can, those are just little things that you could do that strengthen your relationship over time. I'm Joe, and this is our top five this week.
That's what's up. That's what's up. And I think as we talk about relationships, I think loyalty is just something that, you know, even as far as relationships, partner relationships go, I think that's something that's missing in a lot of things. I think the world is much more selfish than it's ever been as well.
That's a great point, bro. You know, any type of relationship, whether it's a business relationship, friendship, a love interest, loyalty has taken a toll. And maybe that's the individual thing, too, because we so individualized now, we're selfish to a fault. It's me, and I, and it's like, to you be damned. Whatever I got to do to make me happy, I'm going to do that.
That's an interesting point. Only thing that, not the only thing that stuck out to me, the only thing that was kind of funny to me in that seriousness that you gave was that you know what you want to eat at. In my experience, oh my God, my wife said that all the time, but every woman does that. I'm hungry, what I want. I start reversing. I know what you want. And you just make lots of options. So either she said, how you know? Well, no, I was thinking this, and you go to that place. That's the best way. Because other than that, you got to figure it out. You like that? I hate doing that, though. Jesus Christ.
But it'd be like,
you hungry right now, and I got to find out what we want to eat. I don't know.
And I got to tell you what it is. And you know, I just named something I want. You did.
Yeah. I do it like
I'm gonna name each
other. We went, gonna be, I'm going to name one of your four places.
Straight up.
You can name, but you want me to name for some reason. I don't. That's women. I don't get that. Damn, I'm hungry.
Yeah,
what's that
on
that?
Women.
I'm pretty sure you do that. Santa say, I'm hungry. What's for dinner? Hey, what about this? Nah, I ain't thinking that. Oh, well, what you thinking? I'm really not. I didn't know I was hungry right now. But I got to pick. And I better pick right, Joe. Or close to right. But the rest of it was spot on. You got to be loyal, like you say, with relationships going. You know, you won't, like you say, especially if you're trying to build on something. Even Cassie, you want loyalty. You know, my whole thing is working together.
And to your amen. And it's another thing that I think is very, very important too. You know what I mean? While we winding down the show tonight, it's like it's a very selfish thought to tell somebody, make me happy. I really think that's like a real selfish thing to like ask somebody to do. Like, look at your wife or your woman or your dude or whatever and be like, what is it that you're going to do to make me happy? And like, why my happiness have to be based off of what you do? Like, I think, and it's something that, you know what I mean, me and Chick solid at when it comes to this, and I wish more people would do this. I make me happy. You know what I'm saying? I go out and I do what is going to make me happy. There are certain things that I enjoy that make me happy. And I want her to do things that's going to make her happy. And what we do is just come together and celebrate each other's happiness. So I be truly happy for her when something, you know, she accomplished something at work or she grow or she get that promotion. That's something that was making her happy is shooting for that. You feel me?
Right.
I can't give her that. So she busts her ass to get that. And that growth, I'm proud of her, and it makes me happy. So I feel like, you know, stop sitting there waiting on somebody to make you happy with your arms crossed and your lip poked out, waiting on some dude or some female to make you happy. Make yourself happy.
It ain't going to happen like that.
And you guys, and y'all share with that.
Oh, I most definitely ain't looking for anybody to make me happy. I can sit in the middle of the room and entertain myself by myself. You sit over there and look crazy if you want to.
You legit good.
You
want to
sit over there.
You good.
You want to sit over there looking crazy? It's on you. I mean, look at me. That's true, though. That's why, you know, I always try to make sure that people know that I'm not against. I know I have some things to say, but I am not against being with anybody. I would prefer to be with somebody. I'm just not going to give up my sanity and my space trying to force
you
myself
should.
On someone.
You should.
You
don't
do that.
And so no matter what, where you are, as far as you're single, you have someone, you have to know how to entertain you. You have to know the things that you like and you want. So if your man asks you, you hungry, you can tell him three different restaurants you prefer. Figure out what you like, fucker. Because I think a lot of that stuff comes from that whole thing of us trying to, believe it or not, it comes from that whole thing of trying to make sure that y'all like whatever we suggest. We know what we want to eat, but we just don't want to say it because we feel that you don't. And y'all don't even give a damn about stuff like that. But I'm telling you,
that's what I'm about to say. That's what y'all know. Y'all know we're going to eat wherever y'all want to go eat. Y'all already know that. So.
Is that the whole thing about the, is it the whole female relationship? It's the crazy shit, but that's just where it gets deeper than
it's
that.
The crazy,
you know,
shit. Because in the beginning of a relationship, we damn sure eating wherever y'all eating at. In the middle of the relationship, when it's getting good, sex time, you damn sure know we eating where y'all want to eat at. And when you're in a long term relationship, we have no choice but to eat where y'all want to eat at. So can y'all know that we don't care?
Man.
Hey, I do want to say, like, touching on that, I think there's too many relationships now that people, we don't spend enough time finding ourselves, because I think each relationship you go through is a different chapter in your life.
Right.
And I think there's way too many people who insert John in the chapter or insert Jane in the chapter that Keisha or Janice are supposed to be in. You know what I mean? Like, I think discover who they are as a person to move on to. I don't see anything wrong if you're not happy. You know, get out of that relationship.
Right.
But before you jump into another relationship, find out what chapter you are in your life. Find out who you are as a person.
And like Joe said, always make yourself happy. See, if you know what you like, then whatever you do that you like, you may meet a person with that kind of like that, or a opposite of you, but y'all still have, it don't be in relationship, it's something similar. Y'all got some similarities or some shit that y'all like to do. There ain't no way around it. It just is. That's what's going
to
attract you to the person. I'm talking about,
right.
We ain't talking about no one night stand. She got a big booty or his muscles big, you want to knock it down for the night. We talking about a relationship. It's something about them that's going to draw them to you, whatever it is. It could be something quirky. It could be something big, you know, whatever it is. And you build on that. But like you said, if you ain't happy with it,
you build
on, nobody else can't be happy. A relationship won't work. If you're not happy with yourself,
hey,
then a relationship is doomed.
I don't think people take into effect, because I lost my mother in the midst of a relationship, and that forever changed me.
Right.
Things are going to happen, and you got to find somebody that's willing to grow and change with you, and willing to adapt with the changes. And know, I mean, because we're at an age now where we're having life altering things, and things are affecting us different. So you also, not only because you're happy with yourself, you're happy with that person, you got to be able to change, and you got to be able to adapt to the changes. That's what I don't think a lot of people realize either when the relationship happens. But I know I'm
not the same
person.
No, I think that's an amazing point, because for real, because like, I think people get that confused with trying to change somebody, and that's not the same thing. I don't want you to try to change me, but I'm willing to
just
change
about to say
and adapt
that.
To your situation. Yeah,
adapt. That's what I was just about to say, Joe. I like it, but it's definitely more so the adapt than the change. You know, you don't try to get people to change, but you have to adapt, as like you said, with the growth in relationship. Anything, it's not anything can happen. Things are gonna happen. That's your life.
It's gonna happen.
Something gonna happen. Something. Yeah, for sure, 1,000%. That's gonna either affect, and end up y'all in relationship, like Tamika say, it's gonna affect y'all, and that's the way it should be. Y'all got, if it happened to her, well, it might happen to her, but
yeah,
it's happening to you too. You include
you know
her. It's, you in the hospital, I'm in the hospital too. I'm in the chair.
You can't keep cheerleading your girl to be better and do better. Then she start making double the fun she was making, and making more than money than you, and then you sitting around salty. Like, you got these balls in the relationship, it's gonna be forever changing. You know, you can't tell your man to be in business and you gonna sell songs, but you don't want them around women. What are we selling songs to me? Like, you got these balls.
Not gonna happen.
You got, you know, because things change, our interests don't change. And so with that, you have to adapt to the change.
But
that's one of the things I know.
I was just going to say, with all that being said, I think you got a great point, too, about the phone. That's a great-ass example. And it go back to, like, that foundation stuff. Like, no matter what all the changes and everything that happened, you still got to have your core things in that relationship. You got to be honest with each other. You got to trust each other. You got to communicate. Like, if those things are not there, don't none of this shit work. None of it. Like, throw it all out the window. If you're not going to be willing to be open and communicate, be honest, be trusting and whatnot, none of this shit works. So, like, everything you do over a period of time has to be based off of those core principles, or just throw the whole damn thing away.
Yeah, pretty much. And it looks like that's
all. That's it. Another week in the bag. One more week before winter break.
Yeah, one more week before Christmas break. Parting shot, Joe.
I'd like to just thank our caller for calling in. I'd like to thank all our listeners, you know what I mean, call in with your opinion. Someone text me, we should do a part two to this because we really just scratched the surface. I promise you, you know what I mean, I know we'll get together and figure it out, but we just can't thank y'all enough for, like, showing love every week. We love, like, sitting here, you know, shooting shit with each other, but we're really hitting some real hard topics that we feel like could, you know, break certain cycles that we have in our community. No matter what it is that you're with or who you're with or what you're doing, just do it from a place of love or whatever. But mainly yourself, love who you are. If the shit ain't working, leave. But find out who you are before you jump into something else with anybody. There's nothing wrong with being to self. And if there's something come along, fine. If it don't, that's fine too. But just love self. All right?
My partner, I'd like to thank everybody for listening again. Check us out, as always, all our listeners, all our people that call in. And just to sum it up, you know, black love is powerful. The relationships are powerful. Just work on them. Just work on them. Like you said, don't rush to find nobody. Find yourself and it'll come. Come, it might come, might not, but some form of relationship don't come. And if you don't quit work, there ain't no way it can't.
And I just want to find, I want to find a man that love me as much as his cost love me. I want to find a man that love me as much as his cost love me because it won't leave me alone. We're going on week number four together.
Oh, shit. Sick. Hey, Jay.
I just want to say,
I
just want to say thanks to all the listeners. Thanks for the caller, Dustin. Looking at our Facebook page, we're at 252 follows now. So thanks for everybody who's just taking a little time to give us an opportunity. Keep looking at our page. We're going to keep bringing much more and more content and just try to bring value. That's it. That's all. Thanks, y'all.
Peace.
Good night.
Good night.